Our Lady, Mother of the Church, St. Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We see in the first reading an example of how the church and state, you might say, was related in the time of the Old Testament in the kingdom of Judah, and how when the king found this religious book, he sought out the advice of the religious leaders to explain it to him and to tell him what was in it, because as he says to him, this book contains information which will be very important for the well-being of our kingdom. Well, we know that Israel and Judah were kind of an exception. They were a theocratic society where God was really the head of the nation, and the only reason why they ever had a king's appointed was because the people didn't really trust in God's arrangement. They were more interested in being like the other nations around them who had kings, and our Lord even told them through the prophet, they will greatly regret having a king put over them, that rather he would guide them through prophets and through the judges and things like that. But they wanted a king instead, and God appointed them a king. He had good kings and bad kings. Those who were good kings realized, you know, that the importance of their role in helping to maintain the not just the well-being of the temple order, but their role also in maintaining that the nation's spiritual life was healthy. Now, we can probably transplant that to modern day, even though we have this, you know, separation of church and state mentality and this false idea that somehow the state is autonomous and should not be interfered by the religious realm, that somehow a secular state is, you know, the cat's meow in our modern man's thinking that somehow if we take religion out of the picture, out of the civil running of the society, that somehow will be better for it, which is truly a mistake. Obviously, and religion is kind of delegated to its little compartment where it's supposed to be stay in that area and never come out. Don't ever show your face in public. And, you know, these secularists will be quite happy. But yet, all the evils that have cropped up in our society and all the evils that they lament and that they are trying to start all these programs to, you know, combat, whether it be rampant alcoholism or pornography or whatever other ill it is in our society, human trafficking, is because there is no moral compass. There isn't a moral framework. There aren't people have no guide on how to run society in a personal level, because morals have been forgotten or not even taught. And we know that nature abhors a vacuum. And it seems that the morals that are being upheld right now are not those of God and true living, but rather the morals of hell. And so we have societies, especially in the West, corrupting and even falling down not because of being oppressed by an enemy with weapons, but rather from an interior corruption, falling apart from inside, because there is no moral foundation to hold it up. And so we need to, might say, return to wisdom. The civil order needs to realize the importance of, as Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II, reminded the West, and Pope Benedict after him, and even Pope Francis, if the Western civilization wants to maintain its well-being, it has to return to its Christian roots, its Catholic roots, to once again be founded and maintained and governed in a Christian manner, that the civil order cannot remain devoid of religious influence, and that it has to have a moral framework to guide it. And that framework has to be a true one and not a false one, not the moral relativism that, as Pope Benedict said, is the religion of modern man, that, you know, what's okay for you is okay for you, and what's okay for me is okay for me, and there's no absolute truth in moral activity. That's why we have the problems that we have today. It seems that the only absolute for moral modern man is that there aren't any. And so we live and we have the troubles and the corruption and the societal decay that we see today because of this lack of respect and understanding of the importance of religious principles in society. Today, our Lord warns us of false prophets, and you might say that all those false prophets of our modern age have all been those, you know, false prophets of whether it be Margaret Sanger's or the hedonistic philosophers, or all the ills that we are suffering is because there have been false prophets which we have not as being, you might say, the harbingers and the custodians of truth, have failed to respond to them and to respond and to come back with the answer for truth, and to show that those false prophets, what they were telling our modern age was going to lead them into the destruction that we're in today, that truly the bad fruit that they have borne, we're experiencing it today. And so we need to be not only as society, but as individuals. We want to be good trees. We want to have to be that good example. And the only way that we can be good trees is if we are converted interiorly, first and foremost, and accept the gospel, accept the teaching of the church, and that we need to be interiorly renewed by, first and foremost, if we're not, being baptized, being converted, and accepting the teaching of Christ as the foundation upon which we base our lives. If we have that, then we will be a good tree bearing good fruit. If we're following the false prophets and all these other false philosophies, then we will be rotten trees, and all we will spread is rotten fruit. We can see those rotten fruits in our society today. There's quite bushel baskets of rotten fruit today in many places, and especially in places where they should be hopefully trying to maintain good order and be good fruit. And that means especially those in charge of the common good and in preserving society's structure and peaceful concord. Let us pray today especially to Our Lady, the mother of all of us, but especially the one who has shown us by her fidelity to Christ that the way to peace and to true order is through that obedience and attentiveness to God's word and to his teaching. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.